You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. What a big week in the world of golf. The Masters is almost upon us at Augusta National in Georgia on Thursday. Dave Callan and Dave Tindall with you as usual to break down the Masters betting here with William Hill. Good to have your company. Dave, we've been waiting a long time for this major championship to roll around. The Masters is here this week and I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be interesting to see a Masters in the fall stateside, November Masters for the first time, and that's going to add another dimension to what is already an intriguing championship.
Yeah, it's my favourite golfing week of the year. There's controversy straight out of the gates for all those who think the Open. I mean, I absolutely love the Open Championship, but if that's 9.99, Augusta's 10 for me. So, yeah, I cannot wait.
You've been to Augusta National a few times, I think, Dave, haven't you, in your golf journalism career? What's it like? What's it like being there?
Yeah, I was lucky to go to four in a row, 2011 to 2014. Just incredible, yeah. It's a complete bucket list job, and it's... You think it's going to be amazing, and it's beyond amazing because it's sort of so familiar, and yet there's some really kind of fascinating secrets that you see in there and things you don't expect once you get there. For example, I don't think many people, you say the fifth hole to them, they don't really, not a lot comes to mind. Would that be fair if I said the fifth
hole
to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that seems like a completely different... You think, well, where am I here on the fifth? And then there's a massive, massive downhill drop to the sixth green from the sixth tee. You just feel like you're miles up in the air. And that obviously doesn't come across on the TV, that it's such a this massive drop. And you think, God, that's incredible. And the confusing one to me is the 16th. Somehow you're in your head, you think that's almost tilted on a 45-degree angle, and yet it's the slope of the green is really subtle. So you think, oh, that looks quite a flat green, but obviously on the TV, you know, if you get up on the top tier, that it doesn't feed down, or if you same if the flag's up on the top tier, and you catch the slope, you're off way down the bottom. So yeah, there's some fascinating secrets, but I think the main thing is just the familiarity. What that the section that I love most is Amen Corner, when you walk down the 11th and then you can see the 12th green, which was incredible last year, wasn't it, when everything kicked off, everyone going in the water, and then the 13th tee, that sort of sweep of land is amazing. So as you say, will it be any different in November?
We will find out, won't we? It's interesting to try and work out what's going to alter with the November Masters and how that's going to change things, because we've spoken numerous times on this podcast down the years, Dave, about the course's intricacies and how players can handle them. Do you think that's mitigated this year by this being a November Masters? It's reportedly very soft, lots of rain in the forecast as well, no crowds at Augusta National this week. Just in your opinion, will that make it easier for those seeing the course for the first time?
Yes, I think I'm a quite clear yes to that question. I'm not going to hedge my bets. I think, yes, it will be easier for the first time. As some of the quotes, I'll just read you a couple from them from yesterday's practice, Monday's practice. Tommy Fleetwood said, around the greens, it has played a little bit different. With a little bit more grass, it feels at times to strike a chip is a bit easier. And then Jordan Spieth, who obviously knows Augusta very, very well, perhaps better than the most in terms of contending there regularly over the last few years. He says, the grass has been a little thicker and longer than we see in April. We just came off number 9, and if the ball lands short of that green, sometimes it rolls back 20 to 25 yards. Right now, it's only going to go back 5 or 10.
Right.
So it just seems a kind of slower, heavier, a bit thicker ball, not flying as far kind of setup. And I know they can sort of tweak things to some extent in terms of the greens are going to be fantastic, but maybe before you get to the green, I think it is going to be slower, and therefore I think less fiery, less fiery makes it easier for the newcomers who aren't going to be sort of freaked out by the quickness of everything.
Yeah, and another quote from Phil Mickelson, this is a more general quote, didn't come from the practice rounds, but he says unequivocally, it's much easier for a first-timer to win here because the greens have been so much more receptive the last 7, 8, 10 years since the course has been lengthened, and the greens aren't the only defence. What that allows you to do is miss it in the spot that normally would be bad, but you can get away with it because the greens are more receptive now. And that's something that's going to be exacerbated, I think, by conditions in the lead up to the Masters as well. So we always think about the Masters and Augusta National not being a course for debutants, but maybe that's mitigated this year by conditions. So that's going to be intriguing to see how that plays out.
Definitely. The other thing is that it's not just like a random bunch of we're talking about, you know, debutants as if they're just like this mass of people who are sort of okay. But this year specifically, we're talking about guys like Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler, Jason Kokrak. So it's a very good set of first timers who might just break that famous 1979 Fuzzy Zeller stat, the last one to win on debut.
Let me spin you through the betting. And here at William Hill, by the way, folks, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying 9 places as well. Wonderful concession here with William Hill this week for the Masters. The betting headed by Bryson DeChambeau, who is 8-1, Dustin Johnson 9-1, John Rahm 10-1, Justin Thomas 12-1, Rory McIlroy's 14s, along with Xander Schauffele, Brooks Koepka 16-1, Patrick Cantlay is 25s with Hideki Matsuyama, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau and Tyrrell Hatton all 28-1, Colin Morikawa and Bubba Watson both 30s, 33-1 and bigger the remainder. The keys to Augusta, in my mind, are usually red-hot iron play. Dave, you look through the last 5 leaders in the strokes gained approach stats. 3 of them have won, and 2 of them have finished second and third. But this year might be different.
You've been reading Justin Rae's
timeline. I have. Have you seen that
as well?
Have you seen that tweet this morning?
Yeah, it's because obviously most of us haven't got access to strokes gained at Augusta National because they weren't measured.
Yeah,
that we knew of anyway. They weren't released, so we were going on the kind of former greens in red types of thing. But yeah, I think Justin's stat there is probably just confirming what we thought.
But is it going to be different this year? The sub-air systems will have to be fully operational, won't they, to dry these greens out if the forecast is to be believed?
Yeah, I mean, why? What were you thinking? Why wouldn't it be such a key stat this time?
Is there going to be more weight on driving distance this year than in previous years? That's what I was alluding to anyway.
In terms of that? Yes, I would say that. You can add some percentage points to the mix there in terms of long drivers. I'd be very sort of wary of going for someone who doesn't tonk the ball a quite a long way this time.
Yeah, no, I agree. Most of my selections in the numerous different markets we're going to talk about, I lean heavily on driving distance this year.
Yeah.
In comparison to a Masters in April, I think it's going to be a big factor, but I suppose it's all speculation at this point, isn't it, Dave? I guess other people will have different theories.
Yeah, I guess so, and obviously we'll get more from the players. I mean, you've obviously seen the Bryson DeChambeau clubs of what he was hitting, have you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's been more widely reported than anything else in the lead-up, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, just to sort of run through some of these. So on the first hole, a very tough par 4, which played as the 6th hardest hole last year. It's one of those holes where you take your par and say thank you very much. But he hit a sand wedge for his second shot, which is just ridiculous. On the second, I mean, all the par fives he's hitting in short irons, hit a 9-iron into 15, flew the green at the par for third hole, which again, even though you've done that, sometimes that can not necessarily get you an easy birdie because you can chip back off the other side.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Some of the numbers, yeah, are crazy. And I'll go in here about my golf dream last night. 2 nights ago, I dreamt Jason Day was in my dream, but he was just tying his laces.
Right.
And it was all very meta, and I was thinking, I've seen Jason Day in my golf dream. I was aware I was having a dream and therefore thought, I've seen Jason Day in my dream. I must back him. But last night, I specifically dreamt Bryson DeChambeau shot a 56 in round one.
Well, if that happens, that's a big price, isn't it, I think?
56. I wonder where that my brain came up with that from. And then... And I kind of said to someone, 56. And then this guy showed me like a kind of sheet where it showed every club that it hit. And I sort of said to this guy, I said, well, what an idiot. I said, well, he's sort of given the game away. Now August will make the green speeds about 15 on the stimp and he'll lose. But it's certainly in my head then that he might do something ridiculous this week.
Just before we get into the picks, I take it you're not with Bryson DeChambeau at 8-1, Dave?
Not in a just 8-1 sense, but he does feature in some of my other bets.
Okay. I've got two outright selections this week.
Yeah, I've only got one because I probably should sort of expand on my theory a little bit. You look at all the kind of top end of the market. DeChambeau got a great chance. Dustin Johnson, great chance. John Rahm, great chance. Justin Thomas, yeah, great chance. Rory, great chance. If it's a bit... you know, wetter and heavier. Schauffele said that after walking off last year, he now knows he can win it. He's got a great chance. Kepka's coming into form, great chance. Good luck to you if you can be firmly on the side of one of those out of the top seven or eight. Cantlay, a great chance. Therefore, I think the best bets here are sort of compound bets, which bring in two of them into the same bet.
Okay.
So therefore... We'll come on to those later, but I've only got one in the outrights.
I've got a couple, and I do select one of those top eight in the betting, and it's quite a confident selection for me. Dustin Johnson at 9-1. I think he should be a couple of points shorter. I don't see any negatives. I think he is the best player in the world right now, and he should be clear favourite for this championship. So that's the cards on the table as far as DJ is concerned. I think Bryson does have questions to answer. Can he... read these greens as well without the green books. If it is, if you still need to lean heavily on short game and iron play, does that play to his strengths? Is it a little bit of an equaliser that you can get away with it off the tee? Everyone can get away with it off the tee to a certain extent at Augusta, whereas at winged foot, you had to be further down there, didn't you, if you were hitting it into the rough? And let's not forget he's a third of the price he was at wing foot as well. So I think those are negatives with DeChambeau as far as I'm concerned. Whereas DJ just ticks every box for me. His form is outstanding. The last time he finished outside the top 10 was at the FedEx St. Jude. Since then, he's finished second in the PGA Championship, won the Northern Trust, second in the BMW, took the Tour Championship, sixth at the US Open. And then to add to that, returned from that enforced COVID-19 absence with a second place finish in Houston last week, and there were definite signs of rust, I thought, last week as well. The fact that he only played the par fives in 2 under, whereas the winner, Carlos Ortiz, played them in 8 under. That was the difference between him winning and finishing second. With that run under his belt, DJ should be primed this week. And even though he didn't take advantage of those par fives, he still ranked second in strokes gained tee to green. So then you're looking at Masters form, Augusta National form, and he's finished 6th, 4th, 10th and 2nd in his last 4 Masters appearances. It did take Dustin Johnson a while to master Augusta National, but he's done that now. I can see only one negative with Dustin Johnson, and that's the fact he's only got one major championship under his belt. I'm sure another one will arrive at some point, and each way, 9 places, 9-1 confident selection Dustin Johnson for me this week, Dev.
Yeah, I can totally see why you're behind DJ. I can't pick any holes in the arguments there, and you've kind of dealt with the negative about him only winning one, which is why I'm slightly going off script here in terms of what you told me to say when at what point. But there you go, I'm a maverick.
This is a democracy, not a dictatorship, Dave.
But I'm going to jump in here with my best bet, because I'm guessing DJ's your best bet. Is that right? He is, yes.
Yeah.
So... for the sake of argument, let's say you had 10 English pounds on DJ at 9-1, right?
Yep.
I would double that stake and have... I know you'd be winning slightly more, but I'd double that stake and I'd have it on a 4-1 shot, and that is DJ and DeChambeau both to have a top 10.
Okay.
Is which has been enhanced to 4-1. Now, to me, your bet, you're already sort of saying, well, it's a good each way bet. So you're kind of slightly, you know, thinking I might lose the win part of it. For DJ to win the Masters will be a bit of a Herculean effort given who he's got to beat. Every chance, but it's still a massive thing, isn't it, to win the Masters? Where to me, DeChambeau and DJ both to finish in the top 10, I think it's almost, who cares? So what? That's easy. You're not amazed on any level by that, are you?
No, no. Because
you've just said DJ's come in the top 10 in his last four Masters. You know, so absolutely proven there. DeChambeau hasn't had a top 10, but I think if you sort of delve a little bit deeper, he first played this as an amateur and he was tied eighth at halfway. So that's some going when you're not even turned pro. First round leader last year, so he can clearly shoot the low score at the course. And now he's just a different animal, isn't he, in all senses, in terms of how he looks. You know, he's just now eating raw meat 12 times a day. But in terms of his record in the majors, first 14 majors, didn't even have a top 10. Last two, he's come fourth and first. So he's got over that hurdle completely. So I'd be amazed if DeChambeau and DJ aren't in the top 10 because, you know, it's a smaller field. It's, what, 95 in the field? A lot of those haven't got a chance at all. So you're less likely to get a freak sort of two or three players knocking them out. So DeChambeau and DJ both have a top 10 at 4-1. To me, just sounds like a fantastic bet and an easier way to get over trying to work out who's going to be the top dog out of all those leading those at the front of the market.
Yeah, nice. I like that. If you do fancy DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson this week, that's a way in. By the way, to navigate the website on the desktop, it is... you've got to have a degree in some sort of computer science, I think. But you click on golf, click on competitions, click on majors, then click on the Masters, and that expands all the markets we've got. And there's numerous supporting markets. You've got top college player for each different college in the States. You've got all those top player markets as well. And Dave, your bet is in the enhanced odds section, isn't it? It's at the top there as well. DeChambeau and Johnson both to finish in the top 10. It does include ties as well, which might be crucial there. It's 7-2 out to 4-1, and that's one of three enhanced specials that are currently available. So that's a definite angle in to check those out.
Yes. Also, when I go into the website, I click on the island button. And it displays a different layout, which is easy to navigate.
Yeah, that's another way. So another workaround.
You're fine, but you can click it anywhere and then go back to whichever one you need to place your bets. But yeah, loads of bets there. And I've got more up my sleeve from the side markets.
Good. We'll come to those very shortly. What's your bet in the outright then for the Masters, Dave?
Yeah, Bubba Watson.
Okay.
Doesn't take much sort of rocket science. He's 30-1, which I think, as I've said, with all the market leaders, they've all got a chance. But, you know, at prices like 9s, 10s, 12s, I think you're losing too much of the win part of the bet, or the each-way bet is sort of very cramped.
Yeah.
Whereas 30-1, you've got a nice each-way return if Bubba can get a top 10. Obviously, we know he's won it twice. Last 2 years, 5th and 12th. Last year's 12th, I watched the final day highlights the other night on, I think, the full CBS.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, which was good. And he's right there. He's only a couple back on the back nine, Bubba. So that could easily have been, you know, a top nine, which we need for the each-way payout. So he was, you know, he was up there again. And he's just found some great form in recent times. Fourth and seventh the last two starts. His approach play is fantastic. And if we're buying into this idea of the course playing longer in November, that's only going to help him, isn't it? So I just thought 30-1 was great. The only final thing, which again is yet another plus, is I don't know if you read that interview about him where he was talking about kind of his mental difficulties and stuff and mental health. And he just seemed in a really good place again. That is so key to Bubba Watson.
I agree, yeah.
It's part of the reason why I think he always does well Augusta, because he's got comfort level there. And it's also quite telling that two of his worst performances came the year after he won, when he was defending champion, had to faff around thinking about what meal to serve and sort of speaking in front of all the past champions. So Once he's at Augusta and in his comfort zone, which he seems to be right now, I think he's as good as anybody. So I thought 30-1, despite all the fantastic names at the top of the market, he can get involved and finish in the top nine, and who knows, maybe get a third green jacket.
30-1 Bubba Watson, Dave's sole selection for the Masters. I'm going to go a couple of points shorter with Tony Finau as my bet at 28-1. I think, as we've mentioned, this will go to one of the long hitters, and Finau has to come into the reckoning on a golf course that he's taken to immediately. He was 10th on debut 2 years ago, 5th last year in the Masters, and I think he'll have learned plenty from last year as well. Staring to the whites of Tiger's eyes down the stretch. I know it didn't come off for him in the end, Finau, but I just think that he'll have learned a lot from that experience, and his ball striking has just been really solid for months now, really. He finished 24th last week. That was a bit of a blip in his form. He was 4th at the PGA Championship, tied 8th at the US Open. Good finishes at the BMW Championship and the Zozo thrown into the mix as well. And he always warrants respect, doesn't he, when he comes up against the best on a long golf course. And his major record is superb, and I'm just hoping he can break the Puerto Rico Open curse and get a major. I just think he'll be in the mix on Sunday. And he's an each-way bet, isn't he, Finau? You've got to play him each way with those nine places at 28-1. He's my second bet.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting comment you made there about looking into the whites of Tiger's eyes. I remember quite a few years back, 20 years ago, blimey, when David Duval played in the final round with Tiger at the Open Championship at St Andrews, and kind of just saw Tiger put on a display of how to win a major. And I remember thinking, oh, right, Duval, because it started to he wasn't far away from being world number one soon, but he was a player on the rise, and you're thinking he needs to win a major. And then the next year, after he'd seen Tiger do it, he went to the Open Championship at Lytham and won. So I think it's definitely quite a significant little thing when a player can play next to a great and see what they do to get it done. I mean, that was a masterclass from Tiger on how to finish off, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah, it was.
It's like he'd never forgotten, you know, from the glory days. And I think Finau, if he was smart, would have taken that in. You just think back to number 12. Molinari goes in the water. Tiger puts it heart of the green. And Finau goes in the water, having seen, what Tiger did. Tiger sort of took the risk out of play. So all those little things, I think, will help Finau. And, seven top tens in his last 10 majors for Finau.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. And just majors golf just suits him. I mean, people go on about him, oh, he never wins, but you keep backing him at nice each-way prices in majors, he's your friend, isn't he?
This seems like the perfect juncture to mention our combined hashtag Your Odds bet, which we do for every single major championship. It's at the top of the hashtag Your Odds list, if you fancy this. And it's Tony Finau and Bubba Watson, both to finish in the top 10, including ties, which is 11-1. I mean, we're going to end up having 15 players finishing in the top 10 by the end of this podcast, Dave. But
you do get ties.
Yeah, you do get ties as well. Finau and Watson both to finish in the top 10 is our combined hashtag Your Odds this week at 11-1.
That's a good bet. That
I like it. I like it. Really I do good. Like it a lot. We've spoken. Well, you said that the top 8 or 9 in the betting all have really, really good chances this week. We won't go through every single one of them, Dave.
Do
you want to? We talked about DeChambeau, we talked about DJ. What about John Rahm at 10-1?
Again, I think I backed him last year for this.
He was a lot bigger price last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was kind of hanging on a bit with his putter last year, but on the plus side of that is the fact that he can putt the greens well.
Yeah.
So, he's just another one, isn't he? He's due a major.
I think I'd fancy him more in a major where it was fast and firm conditions, Rahm.
Right.
I just get the feeling he excels when others. It sort of enhances his chance, whereas it's to the detriment of others if you get a firm, fast golf course.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I see what you're saying there, but obviously he won Memorial. Since lockdown, he's won Memorial. He's won the BMW Championship. He was runner-up at the Zozo last time. Great greens and reg stats of late.
Yeah.
Time. He was fourth 2 years ago here, ninth last year. He's kind of put in the work, hasn't he, to get one done, and does seem to be a bit of a trend that majors seem to go to first timers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so maybe, you know, Rahm, absolutely no surprise if he wins. He's got the Seve and Ollie thing to sort of inspire him. They were great winners at Augusta. So, yeah, he's every chance.
More inspired by that pair than Sergio Garcia, I think. I don't think they get on brilliantly well, do they?
No, to be fair, yeah. Sergio out, of course.
Yeah.
It's been...
It's a shame, isn't it?
Breaks that COVID
long streak, doesn't it, of major championship appearances for Sergio Garcia?
Yeah, what a way to sort of end that streak.
Yeah.
So there's that Justin Thomas at 12s.
He seemed to be just trying to find his game recently. I know he's still posting top finishes. He's a scrapper, isn't he? A street fighter, Justin Thomas, and he's got that knack. Tiger used to have it of being able to score incredibly well even when he's not playing at his absolute best. He does rank first in strokes gained approach since the restart of golf on the PGA Tour, which augurs well, but I just get the feeling he's finding life a little bit more difficult in terms of his ball striking recently, and that's what puts me off Justin Thomas this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's got better every start, hasn't he, at Augusta? 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th. So he's kind of trending in the right direction, as they say. But I think I backed him ages ago at about 16s, thinking he'd be about 10s by now. I'm not far off, but
yeah.
I'm not absolutely holding out all hope that that's a great bet. But Justin Thomas, even though he was runner-up at the Zozo last time, he's just... I think one of the fears with him, he can just have a terrible putting week and it gets into his head a little bit and you're thinking, oh, if only he'd putted well. But he throws them in maybe more often than most.
Yeah, maybe one to watch him play then if he does get on a roll with the putter. He's definitely a confidence putter, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose you could take stock after a round and see how he's going with it. But... maybe of the top five or six, he would be maybe fourth or fifth out of my selections in those. I think others can beat him.
Yeah, it's got to help Rory McIlroy, hasn't it, that he's coming in
under
the radar this week on a soft golf course at 14s.
Yeah, you sometimes think, how is Rory going to get this done? Because it's almost like the pattern of his whole year just revolves around it. The calendar month, going through the calendar months, he'll win here, he'll win there, and then it gets to January and he's thinking about the Masters and... it ticks on into February and March, and it's like, Rory, will you win the Masters? And suddenly it's in November. Bryson DeChambeau is taking up everyone's questions in the press conferences. People are asking, is this Rory's week? People are just asking about how far DeChambeau's hitting it. So as you say, it's just not on him this week. So 14-1 on a course that might suit him better than ever this week. Could be an interesting bet that I've got Rory down in some of my other bets, so we'll come to them shortly.
Xander Schauffele, same price as Rory McIlroy. Again, he just seems a little bit skinny in the market for me.
Yeah, exactly what you say. I don't know what would you even 18s might seem a bit skinny. I think I'd want 20s.
I don't think he should be shorter than Brooks Koepka personally. My slight negative with Koepka is that he mentioned last week, didn't he, that he threw a different driver in the bag for the first two rounds, and because he's not got an equipment manufacturer at the moment, he can say what he wants about these clubs, can't he? And he doesn't mince his words either.
No, he basically said he would have won last week had he started with the driver he used on the weekend. I mean, he nearly missed the cut, to be fair. He finished like a train in Houston, so... runner-up last year, had every chance. Another one who put it in the water at 12 in the final round. Obviously, this is Mr. Majors of the last few years. Again, must have a great chance.
One slight negative with Koepka, and I heard this on the First Cut podcast with Rick Gehman, which is a wonderful podcast if you want to listen to that as well. He mentioned that last week was a little bit smoke and mirrors for Brooks Koepka because he had his third best short game tournament ever in terms of the stats, in terms of around the green play and his putting. So that's maybe maybe a little bit smoke and mirrors last week and not striking the ball as well as he has done in previous years in the lead up to major championships anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've got his stats here. He was good off the tee, but he actually lost slightly on approach, minus 0.88.
Yeah.
But then again, you can read that both ways, can't you? You can say, oh, look, his short game's in great shape.
Yeah.
Augusta.
Yeah.
But he does... He's one of these... You just tell him it's a major and suddenly his performance level goes up, where others might think, oh, it's a major, I better somehow try something magical to get my game right. But he's one who just knows. He's got like an edge, hasn't he, already? Through winning four of them in recent times.
Any you want to mention at bigger prices before we move on to the supporting markets, Dave?
Well, only in terms of if we were discussing, is there a first-time winner, a first-timer who could win this week? Morikawa, if he was in slightly better form, must be interesting because the way he hits his irons.
Yeah.
But the other two, Scotty Scheffler and Jason Kokrak, 50s and 70s respectively, I think they have the potential to have massive weeks this week if it goes well. And I think more so than if it was in a normal April slot.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually got a bet in the top debutant market. It's not either of Scotty Scheffler or Jason Kokrak, even though I do really respect Jason Kokrak. I think he could go well this week at 70-1.
Yeah.
Top debutant, I quite like the chance of Cameron Champ each way.
Yeah, he's another one, yeah.
In the top debutant market. He's 9-1, so I'm going to have a point each way on Champ in that market. We're paying four places there. As you mentioned, there's a few we can choose from, but Champ's eye-catching performance in the Zozo Championship on his latest start, coupled with that performance at Harding Park, makes me think he's worth a few quid in the market. Of course, he's a tour winner already, and if you think aggressive play is going to be the order of the day at the Masters this year, he'll be able to use that prodigious hitting to good effect. I think Sean Foley's worked hard with Champ to harness his power, but that's not going to be the case here. I think he'll be let off the leash, so to speak, and his short game's definitely improved, and his weekend work at the Zozo Championship was more than encouraging. He picked up over six strokes tee to green on the field over the weekend at Sherwood, and I just thought that augurs well. And if you think DeChambeau's going to take apart this place this week, Champ's the second longest hitter in the field. He's got to be worth a look, and I'll play him top debutant to point each way at 9-1 with those four places up for grabs there.
Yeah, I agree with the name, but I maybe would disagree with the market that you're playing him in, because I think there's too many good rivals.
Fair
he's up
enough.
Against.
Yeah, you can maybe have a look at another market. But yeah, I agree with that. I suppose Matthew Wolff's a little bit out of form, and Morikawa is a little bit out of form as well, perhaps. Mm-hmm. He's not at his brilliant best in terms of his iron striking in the last month or so. So if you take those two out, then you are left with Scheffler and Kokrak, and Erik van Rooyen comes into the mix in that market as well. But yeah, I like Champ each way at 9-1, but you could maybe have a look at a top 20 market or top 10 market for Champ as well.
Yeah, I think so. So I've got three more bets.
Have you?
This week. Yeah.
I've just got one more to come.
Yeah, they're all in the hashtag your odds section.
Okay. So you think there's some definite value in there this week?
Lengthy list. Pardon?
You think there's some definite value in there this week then, obviously?
Yeah, because it's back to this idea that I think the leaderboard will be peppered with top names, because it always is at the Masters, and for the reasons that it's played at the same course every year, the field is smaller. So I think you've got that extra chance that the top names will just flood the top 5 or 10. So in price order then, shall I just go through these?
Yeah,
quick?
Please do.
Yeah, I mean, they're the same names. So I don't really need to make the same arguments. But there's one 11-1, DeChambeau and McIlroy both finish in the top five.
Okay.
So it's just another way of kind of getting with DeChambeau. If you think 8-1, people might think 8-1 is the best bet ever going. But I just think maybe there's other ways to do it. And DeChambeau and Rory, top five is one of them. Rory's got, five of the last 6 years he's been in the top 10 at Augusta, with a fourth and a fifth in there, 2018 fifth, 2015 fourth. So basically, we think he's going to be up there. He plays well in Georgia. He's won the Tour Championship a couple of times. So Rory top five and DeChambeau top five, 11 to one. Then if we kind of go even more in favour of DeChambeau and keep that same bet with Rory. So DeChambeau to win, McIlroy top five, that's 33 to one. So I'm just thinking, if you really like DeChambeau and you're pretty keen on Rory as well, rather than kind of muddle around backing them at 8s and 14s, try this bet at 33s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be the case that DeChambeau wins by 5 and Rory finishes 6 and you'll be like, oh, why have I done that? But, you know, you might have a saver somewhere here and there. But I just thought that was another way of getting two top players at a big price. And then the other one, again, two players we mentioned, Rory yet again. Rory top five and Koepka top five. Koepka was runner-up last year. That's 55 to one for both of those in the top five.
Interesting.
I know, like you say, you end up thinking, how many players can you actually have in the top five? But there's overlap there with my name. So I'm kind of putting my eggs in the basket. In those three bets, I've only got three different names. DeChambeau twice, Rory three times, and Koepka once. So I'm basically liking the chances of all three, and it's just a way of not just backing them all to win, where clearly if you back three of them to win, you're going to lose two bets by definition. This way you could land at all of these, I think. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I like those. So obviously you don't see many negatives with DeChambeau this week, Dave. You see more positives than negatives anywhere.
Yeah, because I think it's not like he's Tiger Woods prices, 11 to 4 and things like that. It's still eights, but I still think you can sort of bolt on these extra bets onto DeChambeau, because
yeah,
I think I can see him, you know, in any circumstance, you could see him maybe not putting well enough but still finishing third, or someone just being inspired. But with a couple of these, I mean, the three I've mentioned then earlier on, and DeChambeau and DJ to finish top 10 at 4 to 1, I can't see him not. I just cannot see him not being a factor.
Yeah,
I just can't see how that happens. I just think, yeah, what's he going to do on the par fives?
Well, I think he'll dismantle these par fives, yeah, won't he? By the sounds of things, anyway.
Yes, I mean, you give him three birdies. I mean, you bring an eagle into play on all of them if he's hitting those sort of clubs in.
Well, the one that got me the most was the 7-9 into 8, because you think of 8 as a you think of that as a fairway metal, don't you? Second shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Where, you know, you think of it, a fairway metal that you're hoping to get a bit of run that's kind of rides those banks to the side of the green, and he's just going to sort of float an 8-iron onto it. So you can almost give him 10 under to begin with, almost. So I cannot see a scenario where he goes wrong here. It's just whether he wins. But I think with these sort of bets, I'm backing him to finish. Yeah, one of them's for him to win, but others are top five and top 10.
Okay. The other supporting market that I've looked at is top English player. And I like, this is the only market in which I've deviated away from length off the tee, really. And Matt Fitzpatrick is the one that I like there at 11 to 2. I'll just play a point win on Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's not short, but he's not long either. He does have form at Augusta, and barring one or two destructive shots that have been round wreckers to a certain extent, he's been in superb form. He was tied for 7th on his first professional start at Augusta back in 2016 and overcame a really slow start last year to finish 21st. He's got a dynamite short game, a superb putter. It might be, if the course does play really long this week, he can't cope. But that's all speculation at the moment. And as mentioned, the likes of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson have maybe suggested it could be a Zach Johnson year. I don't think that's going to happen personally. But if it is down to wedge and putting, he'll be a threat this week. And Hatton's taking a chunk out of the market with no real Augusta National form. And I like Matthew Fitzpatrick there at 11-2 as my play in the top English player market.
Yeah, did you look at any of the top college player markets?
I didn't, but they intrigued me. Did you have a look through those?
Yeah, I think the one bet I'd have, it's pretty short, to be honest, odds on. But the top college player, Georgia, somehow you think there's going to be more in the in the running than this, but it's basically Bubba Watson, Brendan Todd and Kevin Kistner.
Yeah.
So it's a long hitter against two complete shorties, the long hitter having won here twice before. So 8-11 Bubba, I thought, was fairly straightforward.
That's interesting. That's a nice one.
Kistner, I think he said he's played it about 10 times in November, and he was just going on about how longer it plays.
Okay.
So I'd be very surprised if Bubba doesn't win that.
No, nice. I like that. Any other markets worthy of mention just before we wrap up here?
Probably that's as far as we've gone with it. Maybe save a bit back for in running because, you know, you don't quite know what you're going to get until they tee off.
Yeah.
It was a Mike Grenham thing, wasn't it? Always keep a bit back for in running.
Definitely.
These sorts of things.
Especially as the draw becomes a factor.
Yeah, well, it's off two tees, isn't it, and three balls this time.
Yeah.
I know Mike said he's absolutely all over DeChambeau. So there's a few I've seen, colleagues, friends and people on Twitter who think DeChambeau cannot be beat. I wouldn't go that far, but obviously I respect the bet. And I think 8-1 could look great, couldn't it, in theory, if he does translate what he's done in practice. The other final thing just to mention is that it's a really early finish, isn't it, on Sunday? So don't go out for the day on a nice walk and come back at 8 o'clock. It'll be finished.
Yeah, they are working around the National Football League schedule, aren't they? So they're finishing early. But we could have disruptions all week, couldn't we? Because thunderstorms forecast for Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Hopefully they won't materialise and it'll remain relatively dry. I think we're going to have spells where play is going to be interrupted, unfortunately, Dave, but fingers crossed we get done by Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, hopefully. And then we've got another one of these in April. Fantastic, eh?
Yeah.
Two Masters in 5 months.
Just one more player I just want to mention, a massive prize. Okay. Victor Perez at 250-1. It would be remiss of me not to mention him. Superb iron player, the Frenchman. Finished 22nd in the PGA Championship at Harding Park. Second in the European Tour's flagship event at Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship a month ago. That sort of form, this sort of price is a pretty decent combination, I think. So just want to mention him just before I forget, right at the end of the podcast at 250-1.
Yeah, sometimes there's been a correlation between how well you perform at St Andrews and here, even though they're sort of vastly different, but somehow the creativity needed maybe.
Yeah.
And he obviously won the Alfred Dunhill Links.
That's nice.
Yeah, so in some shape or form, yeah, I think he might do better than his odds suggest, or however you can play him. But yes, could be interesting.
Let me mention the staking then here this week. I'm going to have 2.5 points each way on Dustin Johnson at 9-1. A point each way on Tony Finau at 28-1. A point each way Cameron Champ, top debutant at 9-1. And a point win on Matthew Fitzpatrick, top English player at 11-2. And you've got a few bets to throw into the mix as well for the Masters this week, Dave?
Yeah, how many points was that for you?
It was 10. 10 points.
10, okay. Yeah. I've got 8 points.
Okay.
So I'm going to go my main bet, 3 points on DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson both to finish in the top 10. That's at 4-1. Then a point each way on Bubba Watson in the outright market, 9 places at 30-1. Then these three hashtag your odds, a point on each of these. First one, DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy both top 5 at 11-1. DeChambeau to win and Rory top 5 at 33-1. And then Rory to win and Koepka top 5 at 55-1.
Nice. And we missed our combined bet as well, didn't we? Which we'll have a point on between us. Tony Finau and Bubba Watson both to finish in the top 10. Two of our outright picks, including the ties there. And that's 11-1. That's at the top of the hashtag your odds list there for you at williamhill.com and on the app. Dave Tindall, thank you for your company.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Can't wait for this to get going now.
Yeah, enjoyed that podcast, and I'm looking forward to the tournament starting on Thursday. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter. Any questions you've got for myself or Dave, please do get involved on Twitter, at dkellner and at Dave Tindall Golf. Check out all the betting for the Masters online at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, Here at William Hill, we are top price on the top 10 guaranteed, plus we are paying 9 places each way for the Masters 2020 here at William Hill. Enjoy the week, folks, at Augusta National. The Masters 2020 is almost upon us.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.